Okay, let's go back to the Micah chapter 6 and verse 8.
He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.
God wants his people to do righteousness, have love in their heart, show mercy to others, and at the same time he says, walk humbly with your God. And we learn we cannot have justice or righteousness our own. And we learn only righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. The same way we learn the love we get only from the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Mercy also we learn it comes from God. And then we learned last week, if you remember, walk humbly with thy God. And we learn that most humble person we learn in the Word of God was Moses. But we learn Jesus Christ is the humblest person ever lived in this earth. And we can only follow Christ and we will never go wrong. Now today we are going to learn God wanted us to walking with him and walk with him perfectly. The last time we learned in the Old Testament, he wanted people to be humble. He took them 40 years in the wilderness to teach them humbleness. But they did not become humble, and many of them died in the wilderness. And the Word of God says, we have example that we should not be doing what they did. We learn Old Testament sense. Enoch walked with God. He pleased God. And he had a faith in God. And we learn without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so many people do not know who Enoch was. Enoch was the prophet. Read the book of Jude. Verse 14 and 15.
And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him.
This was the message Enoch was preaching. And this prophecy is not fulfilled yet. He was saying God is going to come with the 10,000 of his angels and he is going to destroy the people who are against God. And the time is coming and the enemy will be destroyed. And the people at that time, they didn't like the message and they wanted to kill Enoch, and that's why God took him. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 17 verse 1.
And when Abram was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect.
What God says, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. That was the desire of God. And if you study Abraham, Abraham was called the friend of God. And Abraham obeyed God and even wanted to sacrifice his son. But Abraham, as the Lord says, walk before me and be thou perfect. I don't think Abraham was ever be perfected or ever be perfect. We will be learning later. And so the God's desire was his children should walking with him with a perfect heart and pleasing God, having full faith in God, be humble before God, and that would please God. And we learned last week Moses was the humblest man, but he also did not walk according to the will of God perfectly. And that's why he said, Lord, send another prophet. And God said, okay, I will send a prophet just like you. And if they don't listen, they will be punished. And God sent Jesus Christ as a prophet. Then we see 1 Kings chapter 2 verse 4. God is saying to David how to train his children. Or if his children walk according to the will of God, they will be blessed.
That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel.
Now here God is telling David, I want you and your children walk according to the word of God, walk humbly, walk perfectly, and then I will keep in your generation the king after king will coming from the David's family. We will be seeing about Solomon, but we see after Solomon, the kingdom was divided and many people did not walk according to the will of God. But we see in Matthew chapter 1, Jesus Christ's genealogy says, is the son of David and son of Abraham. Abraham's children, like when you're coming from Abraham to up to David and all of his other children, they could not walk according to the will of God. But son of David, who is Jesus, he walked according to the will of God. Son of Abraham, who is Jesus, he walked according to the will of God. David did not train his children, and you see in his house there was so much disaster. And so he could not train his children to doing according to the will of God. Let's read the 1 Kings chapter 6 verse 12.
Concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father.
God says to David, and now he says to his son Solomon, I promise you, father, if your children walk accordingly, they will love the Lord, they will follow the Lord, they will humble themselves, and they will, you know, have faith in God and work according to the will of God, I will put the king after king after king in David's family. And so he said, now you are building the temple, but I want you to do according to the will of God and walk with God. Walk according to the will of God. And you know what happened to Solomon. Solomon, God gave him wisdom, God gave him wealth and everything. He did not ask for it, but God gave it to him. And what he did, he married so many heathen ladies and even start worshiping their gods. So we believe that Solomon did not walk perfectly according to the will of God. Then we see another king, 2 Kings chapter 20. We see about the king Hezekiah. The word of God says, God sends the prophet to his house and says, keep your house in order because you're going to die. Please read. 2 Kings chapter 20. Start from reading from verse 1.
In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore.
What he's saying, I walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. That's what the Hezekiah is saying. What the God was saying to Isaiah, go and tell him he's going to die. If he was a perfect man, if he was a good man, if he was doing everything right, God will not send the Isaiah to tell him that you're going to die. But this man was thinking, I'm a good man. And he did some good things. So he is saying, I walked according to your will. I am a perfect man. My heart is perfect. And I worship you. And why am I dying? And the word of God says he wept sore. I believe when his heart was broken and he prayed, whatever happens, even though he was a good man, but God changed his mind because he cried to God. And he humbled himself in the sight of God. That's what God wanted. God wanted his people to be humble, brokenhearted, so God can use them. God cannot use the pride person, we learned last week. The angel had the pride and he lost his job. And he is ready to go to hell. And each and every person who do not walk according to the will of God, and the pride comes, the fall comes. Now this king was thinking he did a great things for God. And he is not worthy to die. But when he started crying and weeping, now see the situation. The prophet goes and tells him that you're going to die. And when the prophet left, he started crying to God, and God is changing his mind. Please read up to 6.
And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee into this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake.
Now see what God is saying. He says, I am going to heal you for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. He did not say, because you are a good man, because your heart is good, but he cried and he turned his heart around. Means he might be repented. When you're crying, God is not going to listen when you cry, 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 cry. God will only listen when you are repented. And that's the reason God turned around and sent Isaiah, go back and tell him, you're going to live. When God says go, we go. When you say do this, you do. You don't argue with God. God is God and we are just the dust. And God created us from the dust. So we have nothing to brag about. Only we brag about our salvation, brag about Jesus, brag about kingdom and all of those things. But we have nothing to brag about ourselves. We don't have time to go and read all about him. But if you read about him, when you are young, 15 years are nothing. But you are dying with a 95 or 100, and then 15 years added, you should be thankful to God. But if you study this Hezekiah, he was not so much thankful, did not do the will of God, and he was afraid of his other kings, enemies, gave them invitation to his house, showed everything what God has blessed him, from the temple to the house and everything. And God said, what did you do? He said, I showed everything to my enemies. He said, now that enemy will take everything from you. And he lost God's blessing. So the point I'm making, not Moses or Abraham or even David or Solomon or King Hezekiah did not walk perfectly in the sight of God. Because each and every person had some kind of weakness. And if you read in a book of Hebrew, chapter 11, verse 39 and 40, He says, if you read the whole chapter, you have to read the whole chapter. I'm just giving last two verses. All the warriors, all the faith heroes, they did so much. But the word of God said they did not receive the promise. Please read. Verse 39 and 40.
And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise.
Now, what is saying? All these all the warriors, all the heroes in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. They had a very good report through faith, received not the promise. Now somebody says, their work went in vain. They did not receive any promise, but read the verse 40.
God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
See what he's trying to say? God has kept something best for us. Best promises, best blessings. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. We are called the children of Abraham in Christ. So Christ bought the blessings which all these kings and all these prophets and all these Old Testament people could not do it. Jesus did it for us. And once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, all the blessings of God automatically comes to us because of Christ. And then he says, without us, they should not be made perfect. John the Baptist was called what? He was called the friend of God. Abraham was called the friend of God. But we are called what? Bride of Christ. Not only children. Once you believe Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. When you take baptism, filled with the Holy Spirit, you are the bride of Christ. So the bride of Christ is greater than the friend. Now here he says, they cannot be perfected without us. So John the Baptist saying, my joy is fulfilled because I hear the bride and bridegroom speaking. So once they gather together in the wedding feast, their joy will be perfected. But until then, they are looking forward to walking with God and living for God. Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verse 5.
O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord.
What is he trying to say? O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now he is trying to say the children of Israel, house of Jacob means Jacob became Israel. So all the children of Israel, we want to walk in the light of God. That is the desire. And we know that the light, that was Christ. And they wanted to walk with Christ or in his light. And the time is coming for the children of Israel. In the time of millennium, all the Israeli will be saved. And they will be walking in the light of God as he desires. Micah chapter 4 verse 2, he says, we will walk in his path. Please read.
And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. So that means they have a desire to walk according to the will of God. And they said that will only happen in the millennium. And they will walk with God, and whole nations will come to listen to the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, they came to hear to Solomon from the ends of the earth. But he says, greater than Solomon is here. So Jesus Christ is greater than the Solomon. In the millennium, people will be coming to hear Jesus Christ and his wisdom, and many Jewish people will be blessed, will be transformed, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, walk in the Spirit of God, and that's their desire. They want to walk in the path of God. And as I said, from Genesis until today, the people who lived in the Old Testament, and even observing the Old Testament today, they cannot walk in the fullness of God. Only we can. Let's go to the book of Romans and chapter 6, verse 4.
Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
So we also should walk in the newness of life. So what he's trying to say, if you want to walk in the newness of life, then you have to do something. First of all, you have to be born again, child of God. Then you have the nature of God, you have the wisdom of God, you have the love of God, and the mercy of God, and the humbleness of God. Then you can walk according to his will. If you are not born again, if you are not a child of God, you cannot walk in the sight of God. And he says, how are you going to walk? We should walk in the newness of life. That means you have to have eternal life in Jesus Christ. And how it comes? You have to be born again, baptized, filled with the Spirit of God. Then you can humbly walk in the sight of God. And many people, they say, oh, I am walking in the Lord. I am a child of God. Different denomination, different religious people say, I'm a child of God. There is a difference between the child of God and born again child of God. Whole world, they can say we are a children of God. The book of St. John chapter 8 verse 44, he says, there are some children, they are not the children of God, they are children of devil. Please read.
You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Now see, if somebody claimed to be a Christian, and lying, cheating, doing wrong thing, killing somebody, fighting with somebody, doing the will of his father, who is devil. And so if you're doing the will of your father, the devil, then the devil and his followers are going to go to hell. The word of God says in Revelation chapter 21 verse 8, he says all liars will go to the lake of fire. So lying comes from the devil. Devil is a liar. He is a father of all liars. Do you speak lies sometime? If you do, then you are the child of the devil. And all the children of devil, they will go to hell. That's why the word of God is saying, we have to be born again. When you are born again, born by the Spirit of God, then when you are born again, child of God is ready to be baptized. In another churches, they baptize sinners. If you're smoking and you say, I want to be baptized, they will baptize you. But that baptism condemned in the word of God. That baptism has zero value. If you are a sinner and you baptize in the water as a sinner, you come out of the water as a sinner, no change. We have to be born again. And when you are baptized, that's why we read in the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 4, when you take baptism, you are walking in the newness of life. You died for the sin. You died for the world. And now you are a born again child of God. If you remember last week, we learned that put on Christ. That was in Galatians chapter 3 verse 27. when you say put on Christ, how do you put on Christ? He says when you baptize and when you come out of the water, you bury the old man and you put on the new man. That is Jesus Christ. So the whole world should see you as a Christian. And some people, they are baptized and they act worse than before. And so that's no meaning they are baptized. When you get baptism, you are dying for your sin, you are dying for the world, and you buried, and when you come out of the water, it's a sign of resurrection, sign of new life in Christ Jesus. Please read.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
See, when you take baptism, is a new testimony. That means now I renounce world, I renounce devil, and now I receive Jesus Christ, and now I live in newness of life. And I'm going to follow. Now I'm going to put on Christ. And when you put on Christ, when people see you, what they see? You are a Christian. You are a follower of Christ. Going to church for 20, 30 years doesn't make you Christian. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means you are born again. Born again child of God will have hunger and thirst for the Word of God. When you start reading the Word of God, especially the John's Gospel, then you learn their water baptism and things like that. Then the person will say, I like to be baptized. And there are so many people having so many wrong doctrine about the water baptism. And so I have prepared the 3 CDs. When you listen to those CDs, you will know what is real baptism, who should baptize you, who should take baptism, and everything is in there. The point I'm making, hear the word of God we read in the book of Romans chapter 6. He says, when you take baptism, when you put on Jesus Christ, you are walking in the newness of life. Go back to the book of Romans and chapter 8. He says, when you are Christian, when you are born again, child of God, there is no condemnation. Because when we were in the world, we were dying without God and without Christ. Jesus Christ came, He redeemed us, He saved us, He shed His blood for us, and now we don't have to live our old life. We have to live the life of Christ. And when we follow Christ, then there is no condemnation. Please read. Book of Romans chapter 8 verse 1.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
See what he's trying to say. There is no condemnation now to whom? The people who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit of God. What the Word of God is saying? Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what happened? The Spirit of God comes in you. The Spirit of Christ comes in you. Then the God the Father and God the Son lives in you. How can you commit sin when you are God the Father and God the Son living in you? We walk to the, bar. They will be ding, 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 ding. You're going the wrong way. I did it before. And I ask forgiveness. I can do it again. And I ask forgiveness. And even the ringing bell more and more and louder and louder and louder. You go there. Boom. Boom. Flat on your back. Helpless. And you lose the power of God. Lose the fellowship with God. And feel defeated. And somebody says, I can get up again. Another fight. And you keep on doing this, and just think, the day you were in the bar, day Jesus Christ came, what happened? The people who are alive in Christ will be transformed and gone, and the people who are committing sin, they will be left behind. Jesus Christ is not coming for the backslidden people. He is not coming for the sinners. He came for the sinners for one time. Now he is coming for the saints. He is coming for the bride. He is coming for the children of God. So we have to be ready. That's why he says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We used to walk after the flesh, but now we are born again. We walk after the Spirit of God. We are walking in the light. The Word of God is saying, we read a few minutes ago, the Isaiah said, let us walk in the light of the Lord. That is their desire. But when we are born again, we are already walking in the light. Go to the 1 John chapter 1 verse 7.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin.
But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, who is he? Jesus. There was no darkness in Christ. So once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what happens? That's why Jesus Christ said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the world. So we want to show the light to the other people because we are walking in the light. So when you are born again, first thing what you do, tell somebody, hey, do you know what happened? I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And he forgave all my sins. And now I'm a brand new person. If you are no change in your life, you are living a miserable life. You are living the life of darkness. The devil is trying to take you slowly but surely to hell. So here the Word of God is saying, if you are born again, child of God, you will walk in the light of God, and the devil has no power over you. Because you are a child of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That means our life is a faith life. Sometimes you don't understand where you're going. Abraham was called and he says, follow me. He said, I don't know where I'm going. But he followed the Lord. When Jesus Christ says to his disciple, follow me. And they followed Christ. And they had all the blessings and the power of God. So sometimes, it doesn't look right where you're going. But if God is with you, if God is leading you, God will guide you in the right path. If you're walking by faith, he will not take you to the bar. He will take you to the church. He will take you to the good places. Why? Because you are led by the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, the Spirit of God will guide you and lead you. Jesus Christ said, I'll send the Holy Spirit just like me. He's another comforter. He will guide you, he will teach you, and he will teach you all truth. So we cannot go astray when you have the Spirit of God. And when you walk by faith, you're not walking by sight. When you're walking by sight means walking according to the world's desire. The world will try to destroy you. But the God Spirit gives you warning each and every time if you do something wrong or if you even think about doing something wrong. When you know what you do, if you have the Holy Spirit, if you speak in tongue, start speaking in tongue and praising God. I guarantee you, your mind will be completely transform. You just fill in the Spirit. I want each and every church member be hungry and thirsty for the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit and stay on fire for the Lord. Okay, let's go back to the Galatians chapter 5 and start reading verse 16.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
See, again he says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you walk in the Spirit, you have no chance to fulfill the desires of the flesh. I'm telling you, I'm a witness. The day God saved me, the day God changed me, and the day I gave up the things which I didn't want it, I never took it back. I had no desire. Did you see in a tobacco plant? Tobacco plant comes like a green lettuce. Looks like a lettuce. They go big like this. Send a donkey there, hungry donkey. The donkey will not eat that plant. Are we worse than donkey? What I'm trying to say, these are the things, poison, donkey doesn't need it, animal doesn't need it, we want it. We are worse than the animal. We were worse than animal, but Jesus changed us. So now we are the children of God. Why we should we go back and be a donkey again, or worse than a donkey? And so here the word of God is saying, I say when you walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Read the Bible, pray every day, go to church, praising God, do the things pleasing to God, walk in His ways, then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Please read up to 18.
For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law.
See, he says of flesh and spirit, they have war. You cannot live in the flesh and please God the same time. Did you ever see any person, Bible open in his hand and cigarette in his other hand and reading the Bible? Did you see any time? If you witness, let me know. Or somebody has drinking and the reading the Bible same time. Only people will do it when they are out of their mind or they are never born again. But if you are born again, you cannot smoke the cigarette when you're reading the Bible. Or you cannot smoke the cigarette in the church. Why are you smoking outside? Oh, that's the temple of God. I cannot smoke in there. I say, sir, you got it wrong. You are the temple of God. That church today is a church. Tomorrow can be a junkyard. Or maybe some kind of storage room. Don't you know you are the temple of God? If anyone defiles or destroys the temple of God, God himself will destroy you. Government is playing a little bit smart game now. Pretty soon you will be have a cigarette packet with a dead body. Cigarette packet with the people died with the cancer. So when you see that, I will be like this, and they will be still smoking. But it will be a good chance to the little child sometimes. Hey, Daddy, what is this? Oh, if you smoke, your teeth will be like this. And if you smoke, you will be dead like this. Maybe it will help. But some people are offended. They said, we don't want those kind of picture on my cigarette pocket. See, that's why the word of God is saying, if you led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You are under the Spirit of God. God's Spirit should lead you to the right thing. That's what we are learning. We should walk by faith. We will walk according to the will of God. Okay, let's go back to the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, 1.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called.
Now who is talking? Paul is saying, I'm in the prison. For what? Not doing any crime, preaching the gospel. Now he says, I am in the prison. I am the prisoners of God. But he says, I beg you that you should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What is the vocation? What is the reason God has called you? We are the children of God. So let the whole world know We are walking this kind of walk because we are Christian. God has called me with a definite purpose. What is the purpose? To show to the world, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again child of God. I want to walk worthy. The God has called me to walk. So I am going to walk a Christian walk, not the devil's walk. You remember I told you last time the crab was walking crooked? We are not a crabs. Our Jesus Christ walked the walk. We are going to follow him. Okay, let's go back to the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2.
And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor.
Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. So, our walk is what? Walk of love. We learn in these chapters, God wants love, mercy, humble walk with God. So, Jesus Christ is in our example. He did not just say, I'm walking. He sacrificed his life to God. And when he sacrificed his life, the word of God says, it was a sweet aroma came to the Father. He pleased the Father with his sacrifice. So he says, now, Jesus Christ walked a walk pleasing to God. So we have to walk as a Christian, as a followers of Christ. I don't want somebody blame Christianity. Do you know how many people think Christianity is bad? When I was in India, I was traveling in the bus and everybody smoking. I stopped the bus and I said, sir, there's a sign saying no smoking and the whole world is smoking in your bus. I said, take the sign out or tell these people to get out. He thought maybe I'm a government officer. He told everybody out. Go out and smoke and come back. And they came and then one man said, sir, where are you going? And I was ashamed to say where I was going. Because I was going to Christian village. They smoke, they drink, they do robbery, they fight, they do all kinds of things. They eat meat. And here I'm sitting with a Hindu man. And he's asking me, where are you going? I want to know where you're going. And I told the Christian village name. He said, you going there? And you telling us to stop the cigarette here? Where are you going? I gave the name of the man. Ah, we know that man. He had the drum full of liquor all the time in his front yard. And he got maybe 50 people sitting around him and they smoke a cigar or smoke the, what do you call, pipe. Or so they are all smoking and drinking. And how are you going to spend your night there? I say, sir, you will see. That liquor, that cigarette will be gone when I go there. The night I came there and talked to the man was 65 years old at that time. I said, uncle, I came in the bus and everybody starts saying, where are you going? And I told them and they start saying, you smoke, you drink and this and that and you have a drum full of wine. He said, yes. And I said, that has to be gone. He said, how come? All the priests came. All the people from America, all the people from Britain, and all the big people came. They never told me it is bad. I showed him the Bible scripture. And I said, sir, I did not come for money. I did not come to beg your food. I came here to give the message. And that night, he said, pray for me that God should take the smell or desire out of my heart. I said, you have a desire to give up? Yes. I prayed for him. Early in the morning, the man comes with a pipe. He said, take away the filthy things. All the drum of liquor is gone. And the cigarette was 10 years or 5 years stock. All gone. And the man became a witness to the 10 villages. And when he went to that village, the man said, hey, one man came to your house. What happened? He says, he transformed me. I'm a new man. No more smoking, no more drinking. That's the call, Christian walk. Okay, we are in the Ephesians chapter 5. Read verse 15. Ephesians 5:15.
See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
How you walk? Not as a fool, walk as a wise man. See what the situation is. We are waiting for Jesus Christ to come. So we have to be perfectly ready for his soon coming. We do not have time to waste. Go to the Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. I'm going to finish this.
As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him.
If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, what you do? So walk in him. Means what? Walk in Christ. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what is he trying to say? Walk like Christ. Otherwise, don't tell anybody I'm a Christian. Somebody say, who are you? I'm nobody. You have religion? No religion. That's okay. Then nobody will blame you. But if you call yourself Christian, you are destroying Christian religion. Like I said, the whole village was Christian. And the man said that Christian is bad. Christians are bad. That's why the Muslims or Hindus, they hate Christianity. They don't know what Christianity is. But when I go there, I say, sir, don't look at all Christians. They are not Christians. They have named Paul, Peter, John, Mary, and this and that. But their life is not changed. You see the born-again Christian, those are the Christian people. And look at the born-again Christian. That's how very few born-again Christians are in the world. That's why we come in. We want to change one person at a time. We should be walking and telling people, we are not the defeated people. We are the victorious people. We are completely healed by the power of God. And that's why God has called us. So we learn. Be justly means be righteous. Have love and mercy in your life. And walk humbly. And how are we going to walk? Walk with Christ. Walk in the newness of life. And how the newness of life will come? When you are born again, be baptized. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And walk in the Spirit. And what? You will not fulfill the desires of flesh. Shall we rise? We are here to please God. If you are pleasing the devil and his followers will go to hell. We are going to follow Christ. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the high calling you have given to us. And Lord, we are going to follow you and no turning back. We know that you are coming very soon. You are coming for your children. You are coming for your bride. And so, Lord Jesus, give us grace to be transformed by the power of God. Be born again, children of God. Be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and walk according to the Spirit of God. So we will not be able to fulfill the desires of the flesh or the desires of this world. Give us grace so we can walk worthy, walk humbly, walk the love walk of God. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.